Okay, tonight, Shir, we are going to talk about a very, very famous halachic sugya, which really finds itself in the end of Masechta Yevamos and Kufya Dalet Amud Beis. It comes up again in Shabbos, later on in Masechta Shabbos, but it's worthy of being pointed out that it comes up very much in Arachayim, in every day-to-day life, and Rashi, in one of our blot, in the last couple of blot we learned in Shabbos, does quote this halacha and has a very important halacha that he learns out of it. So let's begin the sugya of katan ochel nevelos and the din of lo sa'achilam. What this generally means off the cuff is, what are we allowed to have our children do? What must we make sure our children do not do? And where is the cutoff between chinuch and between other things where we must be careful about those who are not mechuyev bedavar on their own? So let's go through the sugya mehakal el akavid. It starts off with a few psukim, which we have all in Sefer Vayikra, three different parshiyos, but three different psukim that the Gemara quotes. So pasuk number one is, Al kein amarti levnei Yisrael, kol nefesh mikem lo sochal dam. No one is allowed to eat any dam. It's a question in the Achronim and in the earlier, in the Rishonim, why is it that we say lo sochal dam? Why is the Lashon it should be lo sishta dam, right? So that leads some to say that this is the reason why probably the shear for every single Isser Shtia is Revius. The shear for every Isser Achila is Kazayas. When it comes to the Isser Dam, the shear is, lo and behold, a Kazayas, not a Revius. So some say maybe it's because the Pasuk says it in the Lashon of Lo Sochal Dam, it's in the Lashon of Achila. Just that should be pointed out. So the Pasuk says, you're not allowed to eat any Dam, v'hagera garbisachachem lo yochal Dam. Says Rashi over there, kol nefesh mikem. Why do we specifically say over here, kol nefesh mikem? What do you mean? Every Isser in the Torah is referring to every single individual in Klal Yisrael.
Maybe it means meat that wasn't salted.
So you're saying that, okay, so you would say that if I have a cup of blood, I'm allowed to drink it?
No, not necessarily.
So how do I have an isser for that? It could be, but then it would leave us with a big heter. So the assumption is that dam is usser, and dam is generally usher to drink. If you have dam in a cup, that's usher to drink. So says Rashi, why does it say kol nefesh mikem? Lahazir gedolim al haktanim. That not only is a gadol not allowed to eat dam, a katan is also not allowed to eat any dam. Second pasuk is as follows. Ves elu tishaktu min ha'of. There are certain birds that one is not allowed to eat. Lo yochlu sheketzeim, es ha'nesher, ves ha'peres, ves niyad. Zak Rashi, lo yochlu. What does that mean? Rashi tells us, l'chayiv es ha'machilan l'ketanim. One is not allowed to feed himself any of these non-kosher birds or animals, and so too he's not allowed to feed any of his young children any davar ha'aser. And number three, the pasuk tells us, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Emor al kohanim bnei Aaron va'amarta aleihem lenefesh lo yitame ba'amav." A kohen has a prohibition to being metame himself to a mace. Not only to a mace, he's also not allowed to go in an oel mace. Not just that he can't touch it, he's not allowed to become tame at all. So the pasuk says, "Emor el kohanim." So Rashi says, what do we learn from there? And Marve Amarta Lahazir Gedolim al Hakatanim. So these three psukim are very important psukim, which tell us three different places where we find a specific Isser in the Torah to feed a Davar Asr to a young child. So the Gemara in Yevamos Kufya Dalet picks up on these three psukim. Let's learn it. Says the Gemara number two as follows. Tashma. What is the halacha? Is it that even if I see a katan, I have to make sure to pull, if I see a katan drinking some dam? If I see a katan, who is a kohen, walking into a Beis HaKvaros, do I have to pull him out of the Beis HaKvaros? Or is it only that I'm not allowed to schlep him in along with me, that I'm not allowed to give him a cup of dam to drink? I'm not allowed to give him a davar asr to eat. But if he's doing it on his own, maybe that's his problem. Maybe it's not my issue at all. So the Gemara is going back and forth about this, and the Gemara says as follows. Tashma, lo sochlum ki sheketzeim, lo sochlum lahazir gedolim alaktanim, my lav damar lehu lo sochlu. Sounds like I have to tell my young child, you are not allowed to eat this. I have to stop him from actually doing it on his own. Says the Gemara, lo, delo leis v'levi adayim. All this means is, I'm not allowed to put it into his mouth, or I'm not allowed to put it on his plate. But if he does it on his own, I don't have to stop him. Then the Gemara says, we bring the second pasuk. Kol nefesh mikem lo sochal dam, lahazir gedolim alaktanim. Says the Gemara, my lav damri lu lo sochlu. Sounds like I have to tell my child he's not allowed to eat it. No, so the Gemara answers, de lo leis v'levi adayim. Okay, skip down a little bit. Utsrichi. Does everyone see that? Utsrichi?
What's this talking about? How old is the child?
Very good. So we're going to get to that in a minute. The Rishonim asked that kasha, very important kasha, and it's going to be very important halacha l'maisa what the answer to that question is. So we're going to get to that in a minute. Let's just get through the Gemara. So now the Gemara says, "Utsrichi, why do I need three psukim? Why do I need one by dam? Why do I need one by shrotzim? And why do I need one by tumas kohanim? All three of them teach me the same din, that I'm not allowed to facilitate an iser to a katan." So says the Gemara as follows, "Utsrichi di yashmin on shkatzim. If we only had this iser by the iser of shkatzim, so then I would say that mishum di iserum b'mashu. I would say that's only by shrotzim because shrotzim is also b'mashu. Now, what does b'mashu mean? You mean to tell me if you eat any, if you
less than a
kazayis. What? So it just means less than a kazayis. The shear by shrotzim is less than a regular shear by other things. Aval dam ba'atikar v'yis lo, but dam where the shear is a little bit bigger. So not v'yashmina dam yishem deikar karis, because if you eat dam you get karis. Aval shrotzim emalo, shrotzim is just a simple lav and you get malchus. V'yashmina ani tarti yishem deisur and shavu bakol. Aval tumah, but when it comes to the iser of tumas kohanim, which is only something which has to do with kohanim, so maybe I would say over there that's a lesser iser, that's not as strong, that's not as severe, just like we find in Yevamos Daf Vav, that an iser that's not shave bakol, an iser that's not equal to all of Klal Yisrael at once, maybe that's not as serious as some other iserim. So therefore the Gemara says we need all three of these psukim to teach me the halacha in Kala Tarakula that lahazir gedolim al haktanim, one is not allowed to feed his young child any davar ha'asr. So Rabbi Chanan writes already in the Kovetz Ha'aretz, and the Oneg Yontif writes this as well. What are they fighting about in this Gemara? This Gemara has a suffix. Is it that every time I see a young child doing an iser, I have to pull it out of his mouth? Or is it just that I'm not allowed to give it to him, I'm not allowed to facilitate the iser, but if he's doing it on his own, so that would be okay. So what's the machlokes about? So the Rabbi Chanan and the Kovetz Ha'aretz, as well as the Oneg Yontif write that the pshat is, the question that the Gemara is grappling with is there such a thing as a Maisa Aveira done by a katan? Do we assume that a katan who does an Aveira is really violating an Aveira in the Torah, just he doesn't get punished? Or is it that no, whatever a katan does not count for anything, everything's fine, if a katan violates an Aveira, it's not considered like anything has been violated whatsoever. So that's what the Gemara has a suffix about. Should I assume that when a katan does a Maisa Aveira, it's considered an Aveira, it's just he won't get punished? That's the case. I should rip it out of his mouth. Every time I pass a katan doing an Isser, I should stop him, I should give him Musser. If you assume that a Maisa Aveira of a katan is nothing, so then it's just not right for me to give it to him on his own because we have Gzeiras HaKasuv, but if I just pass him on the street, that would not be any reason to stop him. So now let's get to your question. What type of... Yeah?
If we go off, is Dam Aser Kazayis or Revias? Because you just said before Shear is Kazayis. I thought negative. The part of Gemara says Revias.
Ava Dam Da'adik Revias Ema Lo. So what am I talking about?
No, Revias is for Tumah.
Revias?
Dam is, he says that it's specifically Revias by Dam, as a liquid.
It sounds like
Revias. Yeah, I mean, Shkatsam, Shimon, Yisrim, Mashu, Al Dam, Da, Adik, Revias, Ema, Lo. I'm almost sure, maybe you're right, maybe it is by Tumah. Let me check it out, 1 second.
It is by Tumah.
What?
I think by Achila,
we assume it's Kazayis. Well, let me just check it out, make sure I'm not making a big mistake. 1 second. Let's see. L'soch adam, kray yiseiru dak siva azharas harbe gabi dam. So the Gemara says, why do I have that?
Maybe it's a reference to Tumah, this dam.
Yeah, b'mashu b'kadasha b'tumasa. The Gemara points out over here that it's talking about Tumah.
Tumah. If you have a Revias Dam, a Kohen can't...
Right, but over here, if you're talking about Achila, so I think Achila Dam, we say, is a Kazayis, which is the Kasha. Yeah, thank you. It's a very, very important clarification. Okay, so very good, thank you. So let's get back to your question. So what is the whole Gemara Suffolk? We all know that there's a mitzvah of Chinuch in the Torah. We have to be mechanech our children to do the right things. They should go b'derech Hashem. So what's this whole sugi thing we're talking about? If I see a katan doing an aveira, am I allowed to facilitate an aveira? Can I put it in his mouth? What kind of katan are we talking about? So there are two very important ways of answering this question, which will really branch off into three. One mahalach is we're talking about a katan shelo higi lechinuch. One mahalach is we're talking about a katan shehigi lechinuch, and then we're going to have to explain what's going on. So mahalach number one is Tosus and Shabbos kufchaf aleph amad aleph. Tosus says the following, that we only assume that there's a mitzvah of chinuch once a child gets to a certain age, but less than that, when the child doesn't understand anything, so there's no mitzvah of chinuch. On that type of child, our Gemara says over here, that even one who is less than chinuch, I am not allowed to put a davar ha'aser into his mouth. I'm not allowed to feed him isurim because of these psukim. And the Ramah in Arachayim Simon Shin Mem Gimel is machmer like this Tosus, and he says, I am not allowed to give my child, even though it's younger than chinuch, I'm not allowed to give my child any davar ha'aser. Now, we're going to talk in the ender, in the later parts of the shir, what is classified as a davar ha'aser. We'll talk about that later. But on face value, Tosus says over here we're talking about a case where the katan is less than chinuch, I'm not allowed to feed him a davar ha'aser. The other mahalach that the Rishonim take is, our Gemara is talking about a katan shehigia lechinuch. Okay, so if I already have the mitzvah of chinuch, why do I need nupsukim to tell me that I'm not allowed to feed him a davar ha'aser? What's this coming to add? So there are two ways of explaining, if you understand that we're talking about a katan shehigia lechinuch, there are two ways of branching off, both quoted in the Rashba, in Yuvamas Kufya Dalit. Way of understanding number one is as follows. The mitzvah of chinuch, as we know it, the Gemara tells us in Sukkah that when I have a son who's old enough to be shomer as gufo, I have to buy him tefillin. When I have a child who's old enough to shake lulav and really understand how to shake it, I have to buy him a lulav. When I have a child who's old enough not to get his tzitzis dirty and, you know, have him schlepping all over the floor, I have to buy him tzitzis. So the Gemara says that the mitzvah of chinuch, you have to apply to each age when that mitzvah is appropriate. So you only find in the Gemara that the mitzvah of chinuch is told by mitzvah's essay. But you never find that there's a mitzvah of chinuch by a los essay. And it makes a lot of sense. The Maral writes in the Gur Aryeh, my father likes to point this out very often, that we know the avos kimu kol ha'Torah kula. Right? The Gemara tells us the avos were mekayim everything. So, does that mean they are mekayim every single mitzvah and aver in the Torah? So the Maral postulates in the Gur Aryeh that he finds it hard to believe that the avos were mekayim a los essay. He says this, that the avos were kima kol ha'Torah kula, means they are mekayim all the mitzvahs in the Torah, which means all the positive commandments. But what are you going to tell me? But Torah's ena mitzvah va'osa, it makes sense to give the Rabbanu Shalom a gift and tell him, I'm good to put on tefillin, I'm good at sitting in sukkah. But you're going to say that, oh, I'm going to be such a big tzaddik as an ena mitzvah va'osa, I'm not going to eat basar b'chalav? Just doesn't have any mashmos, it doesn't mean anything. So the Gur Aryeh postulates that when it comes to ena mitzvah va'osa, it doesn't mean anything to be mekayim alav. Take nashim for example, right? Take a woman for example. This is just make it a lot more understandable. Women don't have an isser. Obviously we know ena mitzvah va'osa, women shake lulav, women do many types of mitzvahs that are, as far as they're concerned, they're pater. They're mitzvahs ha'yishes mangrum. So what's the halacha? Should a woman be machmer on herself? We know that the men are usher to shave their payas. So what do you say? A woman has to be machmer on herself. If a woman's growing a beard, or a woman's growing a payas, in a place where it looks very funny on her, so what do you say? She should be machmer b'taras ena mitzvah va'osa. Well, what do you mean? I shake lulav, so I should also be machmer not to shave my payas off. Right, this example makes it very clear. Obviously, that would not be the case. There's only a mashmos to a woman volunteering to shake lulav, volunteering to do a mitzvah. But to tell me that b'taras ena mitzvah va'osa, you should not do a lav, that doesn't make any sense. So that's what the Rashba writes over here. One second. That's what the Rashba writes over here. That the mitzvah of chinuch only would have told me that I have to teach my son to wear tzitzis, I have to teach my son to wear tefillin, I have to teach my son to sit in sukkah. But the mitzvah of chinuch would not have mandated me to tell my son that when he's eating a davar ha'aser, I have to pull it out of his mouth. So over here, the Gemara tells us from a separate pasuk, we learn that I'm not allowed to give my son a davar ha'aser as well. Yeah?
Two problems.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a child that there's no Talmud Torah, so for sure it's usher for the older one, number one. And number two,
I'm not sure what you mean.
You're saying that it tells you that you can't give your child who's not in the age of understanding, you can't give him.
No, that was the first answer in the Rishonim. There's two different camps over here. The first camp in the Rishonim is, we're talking about over here, a katan shelo higia lechinuch. I have to make sure that even though there's no mitzvah of chinuch, he's not allowed to eat a davar ha'aser. That's answer number one. Answer number two, that the Rashba says, no, we're talking about a katan who's older than chinuch. But, the only thing I have to be mechanach my son is in doing mitzvahs. But whoever told me... No. Without this special pasuk over here, I would say let him carry on Shabbos, let him do whatever he wants. I mean, he can't do the Isser Ritzicha where it's going to violate, you know, basic principles of, you know, bothering others or knocking them off. However, if Stam and Isser Ben Ola Ben Atzma, I would have said his mutter. That's why I need a pasuk over here to be mechadish that it should be permissible, and that it should be Usur as well. That's the second answer of the Rishonim. Third answer in the Rishonim is...
What if you want to see Chametz on Pesach?
Yeah.
The women have the Isur of Chametz because they have the Mitzvah of Matzah.
Right.
So let's say the child has a kid of Matzah. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if you want to see Chametz, we wouldn't let him eat Chametz.
Yeah, so it's not really a Shaila that's Nogei la Halacha because we paskin that it's Usur anyway.
So it's... But it's a lot.
It's a lot, but we paskin once you have this pasuk, so it tells you that it's usur. The question of the Rishonim is, what would I have thought without this pasuk? So it's not really so nogea lahalacha either way. So answer number three that the Rishonim give is as follows. I would have thought that the mitzvah of chinuch is only on the father. Father has a chiyuv, and there's a whole question about the mother. Pasha says the parents have a chiyuv to be mechanech their children to do the right thing. But how do I know that others, a simple bystander who sees a katan doing an avera, how would I know that he also has an obligation not to facilitate an avera to this katan? I would say only the father's job is to make sure the son keeps the Torah. So to that, we have these psukim over here that tell us as well that that even acherim, even other ones, even bystanders also are not allowed to facilitate an iser to a katan. So what is the halacha lamaisa when it comes to this big discussion in the Rishonim and this Gemara? So it comes out that there are three camps. Halacha l'maisa. Camp number one is the opinion of the Rambam, the Smag, the Ramban al Torah. They all assume that our Gemara says you are not allowed to facilitate, you're not allowed to give biadayim an isra to a katan. I can't walk over to him and give him a piece of basar b'chalav. I'm not allowed to go over to him and give him a cup of treifa milk to drink. And the Rambam and these Rishonim learn that we learn from here to all different isurim in the Torah that I'm never allowed to facilitate an isra biadayim to a katan ever. That's what the Rambam says. That's the first. So the Rambam's machmer like Tosfos is that even a katan shelo igi lechinuch, also you have to be careful not to ever give him a davar ha'aser.
But these other Rishonim are talking about.
Right, they're talking about higi lechinuch. But halacha lemaisa, we are machmer even for Tosfos that lo igi lechinuch is also not allowed. The Beis Yosef quotes that the Rif and the Rosh's opinion.
But the Rambam would say that lo igi lechinuch is okay.
He himself would say that.
Okay.
He himself says that, but. We'll get in a second putting this all together. The Beis Yosef quotes the Rif and the Rosh. It's complicated, but we'll sum it up in a second. The Beis Yosef quotes the Rif and the Rosh that assume that, that since it's an Ibayda Leif Shita in our Gemara, right, the Gemara is not sure what the Maskana is, doesn't come to a clear Maskana, and that's the end of the parak over there in Yavamas. So the Rif and the Rosh believe that not only am I not allowed to give an Isser B'Yadayim to a Katan, I also have a chiyuv to stop a katan from violating an iser on his own. Even if no gadol gave him the iser, still, I have to stop him from doing any iser on his own. That's the opinion of the Rif and the Rosh. Yeah.
Shabbos, a three-year-old?
Yeah, so they would say you have a chiyuv to mamish, hit the katan, make sure he doesn't do it ever again, and do whatever you can to make sure he's following the Torah. So obviously, that's a very extreme shita. And shita number three is the Beis Yosef quoting the Torah that not... He says, since it's an Ibayi Delev Shita in the Gemara, we would assume that only by these three examples, only by Shratzim, Dam, and Tumas Kohanim, does an innocent bystander have to stop the Katan even from doing it on his own. Everyone has to make sure a Katan, meaning your example of Hutzah. So the Tur believes that no, that's not one of these three examples, and therefore I would not have to stop the Katan from doing that. However, when it comes to Shari Surin in the Torah, I'm not allowed to give him Biadayim. So, if you look in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Mem Gimel in Aruch Haim, it's in Hilchas Shabbos, a very short Siman. So the Shulchan Aruch is Machmer. The Shulchan Aruch says we have to be Machmer like Tosfos, that we're not allowed to give even our young child Biadayim, even if he's younger than the age of Chinuch. So the Rama says that you have to be Machmer not to allow him to violate Isurim, but that's only if I give it to him Biadayim. If he is doing it on his own, let's say Hotzah, so then I wouldn't consider that my problem. Once he's a Gila Chinuch, I have to teach him that on Shabbos there's a certain way that we act. But otherwise, we would assume that that would be permissible. I don't have to stop him. It's just I'm not allowed to give it biadayim. Yeah.
A three-year-old, it's hot during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell him to turn on the
kitchen. Correct. That's for sure.
Or at least him.
That's for sure, because that's doing it b'shvili. The question is only raised. What happens if in the kid... This is the question that everyone talks about. What if it's in the kid's bedroom, he left on the light? So it's not for anybody else, and there's no gedolim in the room. He has his own room, and the lights are on, he's not going to fall asleep. So a lot of people think you're allowed to take the katan and hold him by the light fixture and have him play with it till it goes off. So that is absolutely not permissible. That's called lo safina le biadayim. even though Mechab is only Nisa Durabanan, Mechab on Shab is only Nisa Durabanan, so maybe that should be permissible. So we'll get to that in a few minutes. What is the story with Isurim Durabanan? But in that classical case, that would not be permissible. Letzara Chakatan, I would be allowed to bring a Nachri in to turn on the light, to turn off the light for him, if he can't sleep. That would be permissible because the Katan is considered a Chol HaShem HaSakana. But to bring the Katan himself to turn the lights off would not be permissible. For sure, to turn the air conditioner on for everybody else, that's for sure a problem. So there is a little bit of a tangential question, but it's a very important one. Why is it that we find by Shabbos? Let's look at number Gimel on the source sheet. The pasuk says, "By Shabbos lo sasa kamalacha ato uvin chavitecha." Rashi over there quotes the Mechilta, famous Rashi. Lo ba el lahazer gedolam al shvisas haketanim. What does that mean? Not only do I have to keep Shabbos, the pasuk tells me also ato uvin chavitecha. So the Mechilta is bothered. What do you mean, bin chavitecha? If they're old enough, then they're chayiv in Shabbos on their own. That's part of ato. So what does bin chavitecha mean? Obviously, it means that they're younger than the age of bar mitzvah. So over here, the Mechilta learns out, Lahazir gedolam alaktanim, that I have a specific iser on Shabbos to allow my children to do malacha for me. So the question that is asked by many Acharonim is, didn't we just learn a whole Gemara, a whole complicated Gemara, that by all Isurim in the Torah, a person has to make sure that his children don't violate the Isurim. Mm-hmm. So why do I need a special drasha by Shabbos to tell me that by Shabbos also it's aser? Wouldn't I have known that from the whole Gemara in Yevamos Kuf Yud Daled? Don't I know that from Aruch Chaim Shin Mem Gimel? What's going on here? So there are three basic answers that are quoted in Reb Chaim Ozer's Tshuva. Answer number one is in the name of the Imre Bina, and that is the following. We know all this is on the sheet, just we'll read some of them. Answer number one is the Imre Bina. By Shabbos we know that only Malachas Machsheves Asra Tovar. Only thing that's Asra on Shabbos is if it's a real Malacha that takes some creative Machsheves, some sort of real thought that goes into doing this, going into doing this malacha. So therefore the Imre Bina says, we know that a katan is a labar das, he doesn't really understand what he's doing, and he doesn't really have serious intentions when he's doing anything. So the Imre Bina says, had I not had a specific pasuk by Shabbos to tell me that the katan can't do malacha, I would have said, well, that's not a malachas mach Shabbos, it's mutter on Shabbos. So therefore comes the pasuk to tell me that even for a katan, even on Shabbos, one must be careful that his child does not do malacha. That is answer number one. Answer number two that we find in the Acharonim is Beis here, and that is the following. Bishar kol hisurim, says Reb Chaim Ozer, ein ha'av over belav, elohim kein hu maichel es beno isur biyadayim. By all other isurim we paskin, the only time that it's usur is if I go to the child and I give him a piece of usur v'chalav, or I go to the child and I give him a cup of blood, of dam. Masha'en kein b'isuri Shabbos, however, when it comes to the isur of Shabbos, afilu im ha'av eino omer lebeno ma'uma. Even if I don't tell my child anything, but he does it on his own, the child goes ahead and starts turning off the lights, child goes ahead and starts doing malachas for other people, I would have said that that should be permissible based on the other sugya. Therefore, I need the pasuk over here, specifically by Shabbos, to tell me that even that is not permissible. Even if the katan does it without me telling him, even if the katan does it without me facilitating the isur, that is still going to be usur on Shabbos. And answer number three, which is very fascinating, they say in the name of Reb Chaim Belashner, what?
What is the father
Isaac? Oh, so look at number three. This gets right into number three. Av shehechel es beno chazir. Take, for example, a father who serves his son a piece of chazir. So what do you say? Eina av overim b'maisez alisar chazir. Do you say it's like the father ate a piece of chazir?
No.
What would you say? Obviously not, right? A father who goes and serves his son a piece of chazir, he's not over on the isser of eating chazir. He's over on the isra of los achilim, then I'm not allowed to feed my child a davar ha'asr. It's a general isra. There's no lifnei iver because he's not a real bar chiyuva. So over here says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, this is my ridik. He says, however, when it comes to Shabbos, Masha Enkein ben she'asa malacha b'Shabbos al das aviv, a child who goes ahead and does malacha on Shabbos with his father knowing about it, ha'av over b'zeh al isur Shabbos. The father has just violated Shabbos. He's a mechal Shabbos. So as Reb Chaim Volozhiner would turn out according to this answer, a person, we know Machal Shabbos, Dino Kavod Avod Azar, a person who goes and is Machal Shabbos in public, he is an Avod Avod Azar. So he says the same would apply over here, a person who doesn't stop his children from violating the Yisuri Shabbos is as if he was an Avod Avod Azar. There's a famous story about Reb Chaim Soloveitchik that one time he saw a child carrying a chalent in the street. And he told the child, put it down. So kid hears the rav screaming out the window, so he puts it down. So then his father is walking right behind him. He says, pick it up. What do you mean? I told you to carry the chalent to the neighbor. The father didn't really know so much, so he assumed, well, what's the problem? It's only a kid. He's allowed to do whatever he wants. So Reb Chaim said, put it down. So the kid put it back down. Father's telling him, pick it up. He doesn't know what's going on. So Reb Chaim told the kid, go tell your father, if you continue to pick it up, all your father's wine in the house is now Yai Nesach, because he's an Ovid of Adazar, he's a Mechal Shabbos.
Wait, so a three-year-old with a toy, an electronic toy, you have to take it, what happened to Shabbos? I mean,
a three-year-old who has an electronic toy, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a Nesach, right?
Yeah.
So what are you supposed to do with it?
So, what? So that's generally. No, you don't. No, but you don't really care. And we'll get in a few minutes. We'll get what? Right. No, so that can't be any worse than a person who does something b'shogeg. But if I go ahead and I tell a child to go turn the lights off, so that's not permissible. Over here, the father was telling the kid, go carry the chalent outside without an Erev. He's telling him, go ahead and do it for the family. We need the chalent next door. Go do the malacha for me. So that's where Reb Chaim said it. I think when the three-year-old's playing with a toy, there's a harbi makim lahakal by that case. Yeah, what?
Carry the wine on
toast. Yeah.
That's assuming, that's the second halacha.
Yeah.
That's assuming, that's under the other kind of episode.
Yeah, yeah. Correct.
The second parrot says it would be, the plus comes down is over Issa Shvisa.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that there is a plus in Deraisa to tell me that it's over Shvisa, which is Rabbanah. Mm-hmm.
Shvisa Deraisa.
Why is Shvisa Deraisa? Shvisa Deraisa.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we are. So let's just sum up what we're up to as of now, and then we'll continue. We had a sugya in Yavamas, which brought from three different sukkim that we know one is not allowed to feed his katan and davar ha'asr. That was a clear-cut halacha, which we learn out from three psukim, by Dam, by Shratzim, and by Tumas Kohanim. Then we have halacha lamaisa, a three-way machlokas. What is the halacha? Should we assume that by all isurim, one is not allowed to give his child, or do we say it's only limited to certain isurim? So in halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, in Shin Mem Gimel, in our Chaim, we paskin, like the chumrah of Tosfos in Shabbos, Tavkuf Chaf Aleph, that even a katan shalohi giya lechinuch, one is not allowed to give him an isur biyadayim. One is not allowed to give him an isur and ask him to violate that iser with his knowledge. So that would not be permissible. That is the halacha lemaisa that the Rama is machmer for Taisus. And now we're going to get into different permutations, how this comes up in many different cases practically. So practicality number one is a very important halacha for those of us who are Kohanim. In Shulchan Aruch Yerodea Simen Shin Ayin Gimel, Sif Aleph, which is number Dalid, the Shulchan Aruch tells us as follows. Kishem Shahakoin Muzer Shalolu Tamos, Hach Mizhar Magdolim Al Haktanim. The same way a Kohen who is a Gadol is not allowed to enter a Beis HaKvaros, so too a Kohen is not allowed to have his child enter into a Beis HaKvaros. This is what we're getting into. So, here we go. How is a pregnant woman allowed to enter a Levaya or allowed to go into a Beis HaKvaros when she's pregnant? That is the question. So the Shach and Yaradeya gives this beautiful teretz, B'shem the Rokeach. This is the Shach and Yerodeah Shin Ayin Aleph. It's in Hilchos HaBeilah. So says the Shach as follows. Well, let's think about it. He says it's probably a Svek Sveka. Why is it a Svek Sveka? Suffolk number one, it's 50-50 boy-girl. Suffolk number two, it's 50-50. Maybe the child's going to live, maybe he's going to die.
An Eiffel.
What? Maybe it's an Eiffel. So he says we have a Svek Sveka. And since we're not really sure what's going to be with the mother's child, so let's assume that the mother's allowed to enter a Beis HaKvaros. Very good. One second. Let's get to all these questions. Frak the Prima Gadim. How do you call this a Svek Sveka? You're right. We have 50% chances boy, 50% chances girl. Yeah, but what are the chances that it's going to be a Nafil? Is that 50-50 Nafil? That's not true. It's 50-50 Nafil? That's hard to imagine that's 50-50. So he says, I don't understand what the Shach is talking about. Zok the Chassam Sefer in the Tshuva, my father said this is Pashut, he doesn't know why the Chassam Sefer had to write it. It's obvious that what the Shach means is, it's a Reiv. We have 50% chances boy, 50% chances girl. So now it's 50-50. So now you take the Miut Nefalim, 10% is going to be a Nefil, so you have 60% chances that it's not going to be a boy. I could be Samach on the Rov and assume that I'm allowed, if I'm a pregnant Eishes Kohen, I'm allowed to go to a cemetery or to a Levaya because I can assume comfortably that maybe this is not a boy. There's at least a 60% chance that this is not a boy, and therefore that would be permissible. Yeah. 51? One second. We have an issue here. Not only is a Kohen not allowed to be Metame himself, even a child, you're not allowed to be Metame. Oh, so you're saying he's part of the mother. He's not a child yet. You're saying...
He's not even in this world yet.
So you're saying he's not even in the world. So we don't...
It's like a ring that somebody swallows the ring.
Very good. So it's like Tahara Balua. So some Achronim want to say, this is like Tahara Balua. The same way if I swallow a ring, it's considered like it's not here. The ring doesn't become Tame. Right? Even if I walk into a Levaya. So some want to say, maybe that should be the same when a woman is pregnant. However, this is... Geirus, when she goes to the mikvah, that's the same case. When a woman, when a pregnant woman goes to the mikvah to be megayer herself, so the halacha is that her child also becomes tahar. He doesn't need to go to the mikvah when he's born. He's a Yisrael. He's kosher. So some want to suggest over here that the whole question doesn't get off the ground because over here we're talking about a case where the mother is pregnant, and when the mother is pregnant, there is nothing to be concerned about. So they do quote from the Tshuvas HaRadvaz. The Pischei Tshuva quotes this question. B'shem Sam Achronim, and he says, B'shem the Tshuvas HaRadvaz, that no, what are we talking about over here? Where's the shach concern? Only when she's mamish in the ninth month, and the kid is like coming out already, and now that's when we say she's not allowed to go to Levaya unless you have the Svek Svek. Okay, so I assume that a woman who's holding there is probably not running around to Beis HaKfaris or to Levaya. So it's pash, this is not what the shach is talking about. So they give reasons why you can't really answer like that. First of all, it's Tali and Ashayla. How do we look at an embryo inside of his mother's womb? Should we assume it's Uber Yerachimo, or should we assume he's a separate entity? So that's a whole question, and how does that relate to Tahara Balua? Whatever, this could be a whole separate shear on its own. But let's get back to where we are here. So the question is, in our case, the Shach writes in the Klali Svek Sveka, which is in Simen Kuf Yud and Yerodeya, the Shach writes, any time I have a Svek Sveka, I have a right to rely on it Lahaka. Right? Which is like our case. We have a Svek Sveka, or like we said, it's a Rove. 50% chance is girl, and there's a 10% chance Nefel, so I can rely on the Rove. However, says the Shach, if it's Efshe Levrue Bekal, anytime it's very easy to be Mevar the Suffolk, so I shouldn't rely on the Rove. Nope. So nowadays, everyone goes for a sonogram. Everyone goes for a sonogram. And when you go for the sonogram, it doesn't even cost anymore. They ask you, do you want to know if the boy's a girl or if it's a boy or a girl? So that's the kasha. Nowadays, l'char, we have no right to rely anymore on the Svek Sveka because it's not a suffix. It's Efshe Levrue Bekal. I can easily find out whether this is a boy or a girl. So there are many who are very machmer bizmaneinu. When we have Efshe Levrue Bekal, that an Eishes Kohen, in fact, is not allowed to go to a Levaya because Efshe Levrue Bekal, let her find out with an ultrasound, with a sonogram, if the child that she's carrying is a boy or a girl. If in fact it's a boy. So Frechter Zilberstein in the Torah Sayuledis, he says, I don't understand. How does a woman ever give birth in a hospital? Because now the child, let's say you get around to all the questions and you say, while it's in the embryo, one second, while the child is in the embryo, you're going to say, well, he's not really here, it's part of the mother, whatever. Once he's born, you're bringing him into a matzah where he's becoming tummy. So Rav Zilberstein qualifies his statement. And he says, obviously, if it's a matzah of pikuach nefashos, if you don't go to the hospital, there's nothing to talk about. But he says, nowadays when we have birthing centers apparently are just as safe as a hospital. I'm not talking about a person should have his baby in the bathtub. It's crazy. But to talk about a case where a woman could go safely to a birthing center, they have all the machinery there, they have all the doctors and nurses and midwives, and everything could be kedas or kedin. So he says, I don't understand the heter for a woman who's an Eishes Kohen carrying a possibly a baby boy, and certainly if she finds out that it's a boy before, what is the heter for her to go and give birth in a hospital when we know Kohanim generally do not go into hospitals in our parts of the world? So that is the kasha that he raises, and obviously this should not be used lahalacha if it's in a situation of pikuach nefashos in the slightest bit. In safek pikuach nefesh is docha everything, so we should be very careful. But if there is a birthing center which is just as safe as a hospital would be, so Reb Zilberstein raises a very strong ha'ara that L'chara, an Eishes Kohen should be careful to give birth over there.
What are the contemporary places?
About this shayla or about the general question? About going to a cemetery or about giving birth in a hospital? So, obviously, they all write pe'echad. If there's any chances that something will go wrong in a birthing center that cannot be taken care of there, and it will be safer for the child, I mean, seconds can count, if it will be safer for the child to have the whole birth done in the hospital, then this whole question is off. But if we make our birthing centers more up to par, I don't know anything about these places, but if they are, what? If they are up to par, so then that is an issue to raise. What? No, but if you can find out.
But the birthing center has a meal where something can go wrong. You need a hospital, not a birthing center.
Uh-huh. No, that's a question. What? How do birthing centers treat the patients? That's the question.
So you have a robe already. You have a meal where something can go wrong.
No, I don't know that it's clear that a birthing center won't give as good care as a hospital.
Better care than a hospital.
Is it true? I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Okay.
You have
it's a major problem. That's a major problem.
But they're becoming doctors.
But it might be very, very, very usher according to many, many, many contemporary poskim.
But they are becoming doctors. Yeah, you're right.
I'm not a kohen and I'm not a doctor. But I'm saying as it's very shaky heterim. For a kohen to become a doctor. For a kohen to become a doctor is a very, very difficult heter, especially.
It's tough enough for a non kohen.
Exactly. It's very. It's a. Yeah, it's a very questionable heter to become a doctor. What? The pashas is that a kohen cannot become a doctor. You want to dray out of it? There are ways to dray out of anything. You know, it's like we were talking today in yeshiva. Someone came in. Apparently somebody wrote a book disproving all the Yud Gimel Ikari Emuna and showing how Rishonim in the generation of the Rambam disagreed with each one of the Yud Gimel Ikari Emuna. You know, this Rishon disagreed with that one. Okay, so you can collect the book. Nowadays with the internet, you can find the Shita about anything. But Lamaisa, we accepted the opinion of the Ram that they're Yud Gimel Ikari Emuna. You can write a book all you want, but who cares? We don't care about those Rishonim, obviously. As chashev as they were, we didn't accept those opinions. That's the same over here. The pashas is that a doctor... Right. Klal Yisrael has selected that this is what we're going to do. So that's the same over here. The general consensus is that a kohen probably should not go to medical school. If someone wants to shop around for a heter, I'm sure he can find one, because you can find anything nowadays, but the pashas says that it's really not the proper thing to do. So now, let's get back to the Isser of Lo Sa'achilum. I'm not allowed to feed a katan or davar ha'aser. So there's a big discussion in the Achronim, what exactly is the reason why I'm not allowed to feed a katan. Says the Trumas HaDeshen as follows, I'm not allowed to feed a katan an Isser B'Yadayim because I'm concerned shelo yargilo la'aver, that when he becomes older, he's going to be used to the fact that his father used to give him basar b'chalav, he's going to be used to the fact that his father used to take him to McDonald's, to Burger King, so we're concerned about that. And therefore, says the Trumas HaDeshen, one is not allowed, that is the reason behind this Isser of not serving your children Dvar Ma'asurim, because we don't want him getting used to these types of practices. The Chasam Sefer asked in a tshuva, Simen Pei Gimel and Arachayim, what do you mean? Lo dashin in time of the Kra? We don't start making up our own reasons for the Surim and the Tzurim. So he says, I don't really understand what the Trumas HaDeshen is doing here, making up his own reasons why the Surim would or would not apply. Now, what would be a nafkamina? Right? If there's a Chakir here, we have to find a nafkamina. So there are two very important nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one that the Chasam Sefer talks about is a Cheresh or a Shote. Someone who, Rahman al-Islam, has a Down syndrome child or of the like, who's very non-functioning and will never be able to be mainstreamed. I assume there are some types of illnesses that you could mainstream if you work with them long enough, but there are certain types of illnesses that the doctors tell us that it's impossible to ever mainstream these children. So says the Chasam Sefer in such a case, that according to the Trumas HaDeshen, it would seem that since the whole Isser of Lo Sachilim B'Yadayim, since the whole Isser of giving a child a Davar Aser is only because Shelo Yargilo, that when he becomes older, he should know how to perform the mitzvah, so a child who has these types of illnesses will never become a Bar Chiyuva. So we don't have to worry. We can give him all the Dvar Masurim in the world. That is what the Chassam Sofer writes, according to the opinion of the Chumash Hadeshim. So the question is, nowadays, what should we assume the case to be? Let's say we have many institutions where, you know, if you speak to individuals who are going through such a tzara, who have children like this, so it's very clear that it really can rip apart a whole family. It can rip apart Shalom Bayis, it can rip apart Stam family life. It's almost, it just changes their whole lives. So very often they send the child to an institution and the child comes home Shabbos or doesn't come home Shabbos, whatever. You send the child to an institution. Whether it's right or it's wrong is someone else's cheshbon. But the question over here, on a simple halachic question, someone who feels that they need to send the child away, and there are no institutions, let's say, there are no institutions that he can send the child to where the child will eat kosher food. So is one allowed to send a child who is, let's say, Down syndrome, very severely diagnosed and will never be mainstreamed, is he allowed to send the child to an institution where he knows from the outset the child will never eat kosher food in this institution? Is that permissible or not? So the Chassam Sofer does talk about this. And when I was speaking it over with my father, he thought of the following three considerations why he thought there was a lot of room to be makel, and to send the child to this type of institution would be permissible. Reason number one, he thought, was the following. It's not so clear that this would be called safina biyadayim. I'm not facilitating the isser. I'm putting my son in the institution. I'm two steps removed. Now the institution is going every night for dinner and serving him basar b'chalav. So it's not so clear that that would be called an isser of safina biyadayim. That's sniff number one. You have to put this together with a few things. Number two is the following. There are those who believe the Noda Bihuda's son wrote a tshuva sefer called the Shivas Tzion. Now these tshuvas are printed now in the Noda Bihuda together. It's called Noda Bihuda Chele Gimel. But really it's not the Noda Bihuda, it's the Shivas Tzion, it's his son. So the Noda Bihuda's son said over here, when it comes to the Isra of Los Achilam, it's not so clear that we should consider this as a lav. Los Achilam might only be an essay. I am a tshuva not to give my child a davar ha'aser. Now we know the halacha is, when it comes to being mekayim a mitzvah's essay, how much money is a person mechuyev to spend to be mekayim a mitzvah's essay? Let's say he doesn't have a shofar, he doesn't have a lulav. How much money am I mechuyev to give? Ksuvas daf nun, am avazvez ayavazvez yosem echomash. So over here, for a family to be totally ripped apart, to be totally destroyed, to be mentally, they're going out of their kelim, taking care of this child, sometimes they can be very violent, it's just very difficult. So that's more than chomash. That's much more than chomash. A person is not mechuyev on a mitzvah's essay, a person is not mechuyev to spend so much money. And possibly this would be a second sniff lahakel of why one would be permitted to send such a child, Rahman al-Islam, to such an institution, because I'm never mechuyev to pay more than a fifth of my assets, and this is considered a lot more than a fifth of my assets. So that is sniff lahakel number two. And sniff lahakel number three, my father said, was a little bit mechudish, but he said that Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes Yerushalmi in Shabbos, that Rabbi Yosef Engel writes a tremendous chiddush, and this is really, he's just quoting Yerushalmi, but he says the following. When you have an aguna, let's say a woman's 30 years old, and her husband got lost in a battle somewhere, and we have no idea what's going to be with her. So now she's going to sit from 30 to 120, an aguna, never able to remarry, has to support her family and all her children. It's crazy, right? How can this be? Yet the halacha is, too bad. So Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes Yerushalmi that if not for the fact that Gili Arayis was one of the Gimel Averis HaChamuros, I would have said that the woman's allowed to go ahead and get married even though we don't know where her husband is. However, since, no one should make a mistake here, however, since we know that Gimel Averis HaChamuros, that Gili Arayis is one of the Gimel Averis HaChamuros where we say Yaharik Val Yavar, therefore we would say a person is not allowed to go ahead and get married, and Nebuch, she's stuck for the rest of her life being an Aguna. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, what do you see from here? That when it comes to other Yisurim in the Torah, which are not from the Gimel Averis Chamuras, if a person is going to suffer prolonged suffering, which will be close to unbearable, like this Aguna, who's going to suffer for the rest of her life and be tied down and never be able to get remarried, if it's talking about a regular Lav, which is not from the Gimel Averis Chamuras, one would be allowed to violate the Isur because it's called Pikuach Nefashos. So based on this, my father thought this would be another sniff lahakel, that if a family is going to be turned so upside down because of this type of child, so there is makom lahakel to send him to an institution, even though in that institution you know from the outset that he's not going to get kosher food, based on all these stadim lahakel. So this would be one very important nafkamina, that the Chumash HaDeshen writes that the reason why one is not allowed to feed his child the Dabar HaAsur is because we're afraid, Shalo Yargila, we don't want him getting used to violating Yisurim. So therefore, when it comes to a case of a Shote, a Cheresh or a Shote, who doesn't understand anything, and he never will be mainstreamed, we would assume, according to the Chumash HaDeshen, that there would be no Isur involved at all. Second afkamina is, when you have a Tinek Ben Yomo, you have a child who's so young, who doesn't understand anything, so is there any problem giving him a Dabar HaAsur? So according to the Chumash HaDeshen, there should be no problem, right? Because he doesn't understand anything anyway. It's not a problem, Shalo Yargilo. It's only once he gets older. However, the Mishneh Berurah writes in the Sha'arei Tzion and Shin Mem Gimel that even in such a case, we have to be machmir because we don't accept the opinion of the Chumash HaDeshen. We don't accept his reasoning that the whole reason behind this Isser is because Shalo Yargilo, that he shouldn't get used to the Averis. We hold it's an Isser. We hold that one is not allowed to feed a Dabar HaAsur to a Katan, regardless of whether or not the Katan will end up becoming a Bar Chayuva or not.
Well, yeah. Medicine for a 2-year-old that's not, that has cholesterol, that's not.
Have it for a 20-year-old.
Oh, it's a course medicine. It's not something which is a...
Yeah, that's for a 20-year-old.
What's the problem for an adult?
Have it for a 20-year-old.
What's the problem?
Trade.
Why do you want it for a child?
Right. That's true. One second, but hey, for an adult, it's not so posh that there's a problem.
Yeah.
If it doesn't taste good, I mean, we try to get with a hechsher, but if we can't get, so we assume. I mean, what about on Pesach?
You're allowed to give
Yeah. I mean, unless it's flavoring, so then we're machmir because if it's flavored, so then the flavoring is Dabar HaAsur. But if it's just a pill, let's say, right, if you have a pill, so we assume that that's mutter. Yeah.
Not a
B'cheresh is a shote, correct? Right. Okay, that's what the Rashash writes in Yevamos, actually, that not every cheresh is a shota, and he says that there's a school, the Rashash writes that there's like this concept called a school for the deaf. Like he writes it, like in Berlin, there was this yeshiva where they took care of the deaf people and they taught them how to become fully functioning normal human beings. But back in the days before they had such schools, a person who was deaf was totally out of society. He was not chayv mitzvahs because he didn't know what to do. He wasn't able to communicate at all. Okay, so Rav Asher Weiss once told me the following. So again, we have this question, what is the reason behind the Isser of Lo Safina Le Biyadayim? Why am I not allowed to facilitate an Isser to a Katan? Chumash HaDeshen says the reason why is because we don't want him getting used to doing Averis. But other Achranim say, no, it's because you can't give a Isser to a Katan. Obviously what they mean is that the Maisa Avera of a Katan, when a Katan does an Avera, that's considered a Maisa Avera. It's considered a real Avera, and therefore I'm not allowed to have this Katan do that Avera at all. So that's by Machalas Asuras.
Right.
Yeah. That's what Machalas Asuras. But what about other Isurim? That's the question. What about other Isurim? So, Rav Asher Weiss wanted to bring a raya to the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer over here argues on the Chumash HaDeshen and believes that even in a case where the Katan does not understand, even in a case where the Katan will never become a Bar Chiyuva, still we consider a Maisa Aver of a Katan to be like a Maisa Aver. So Rav Asher Weiss brought a raya to this Chassam Sofer from a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Hayamid Beis. The Gemara tells us that there's a sugya of Takala V'Kalom, which means there's a sugya of when a behema has Mishkav behema, when a behema sleeps with a human being. So we assume the behema has to be killed. It's Chayv Misa.
No, we assume. The Torah says.
Right. So then the Gemara picks up on that din, and the Gemara says, well, what happens if a Ketana has relations, a young girl has relations with a boy? So what's the halacha there? So should we say it's just like a behema, and we should kill the girl, or not? So the Gemara comes to the maskana that really we should have said that you should kill the girl, just like the behema. Correct. So the Gemara, this is all a very important part of the discussion. But the Gemara, the simple Gemara's maskana is that really we should have killed the girl. However, Rachmana Chas Aleha Lagabe Yonshin. The Torah says, you know what, don't punish the young girl. Nebuch, she shouldn't be Chayv Misa. So what does that sound like? What does the Gemara say clearly? The Gemara says that Maisa Avera V'Katan is considered a Maisa Avera. Just Rachmana Chas Aleha Lagabe Yonshin. Just the Torah says we shouldn't punish her. But what do you see clearly? That a Maisa Aveira of a Katan is considered to be a bona fide Maisa Aveira, and therefore the Chassam Sofer should be correct. And that's why you always have to stop a Katan, even if he's not going to become a Gadol, even if he's not going to understand later on. Still, we should say that you have to stop him from doing an Isser, because we should assume that the Maisa Aveira of a Katan is considered a Maisa Aveira. So, my father said there of Soloveitchik was Marcha this Raya based on a Ritva in Kiddushin Daf Yud Tes, that the Ritva writes that the same way we find a person who's generally Misasik. Let's say I'm walking on Shabbos, and I don't even realize that there's a video camera. Every time I walk by, I'm setting off a sensor. Every time I walk by, I'm turning on a light. So that's Misasik. The person is putter, he has no idea what's going on. Right, it's Misasik. It's better than Davar Shein Miskaven. So over here, what's the halacha by a regular person who's Misasik? So we say, Bashar Kala Terakula, he's putter, he's mutter, he doesn't know anything. But what's the halacha by Misasik, Bechalavim Va'arayus, the Gemara tells us? Let's say a person doesn't even realize, he walks into his house, he thinks his wife is in the bed, and he goes and he has relations with this woman. Turns out it was someone else. So what do you say in such a case? Well, I'm Misasik. Every night I come home, this is my wife. Tonight it happens to be someone else is there. So I would call that a Misasik, correct? So the Gemara says, Misasik, Bechalav Ma'arayus Chayiv. A person who falls into that situation is Chayiv. What do you mean? Why am I chayiv? It's just like walking by the light sensor. So Gemara says, no, shekein nen. Because when a person involves himself in such an activity, so he's getting hanot. Bottom line, he had hanot. Therefore, we consider a maisa aveir. So the Ritva writes in Kiddushin Daf Yud Tes, the same way by a gadol, we would assume, misaseg is pater and kol haterakula, but when it comes to arayis, when it comes to gili arayis, he's chayiv. Shekein nen, because he's enjoying himself. So too, the halacha should be by a katan, even though you would consider a katan, all his activities, it's not doing a maisa aveir, he's nothing, he doesn't know what he's doing. But if he would go and ahead and be mezana, so then maybe we should say he's chayiv, just like a regular person who's mesasek ba'arayis is chayiv. So maybe this raya from the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Hey is really not such a hot raya, because it turns out, what?
That's beautiful.
Yeah, maybe it's not such a hot raya, because really, that Gemara is only talking about arayis, and you can't really learn out from arayis to other Yisurim in the Torah, because arayis would be a lot worse than other things.
What's
he
chayiv?
What?
What's
he
chayiv?
Who?
The man, but if he finds out...
We'll deal with it when we get there. I mean... yeah. Okay, so we're winding down here. Let's get to some very important halacha l'maisa. So one more thing to keep in mind is a machlokas, the Rambam and the Rashba, what would be the halacha by feeding my katan an isur d'rabbanan? Should we assume that the only thing it's usur to give to my child is an isur d'araisa? Or even an Isser D'Rabbanan is Usser as well. So the Rambam believes, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Rambam, that I'm not allowed to give my child, whether it's an Isser D'Rabbanan, or whether it's an Isser D'Araisa, I'm not allowed to give my child any of the above. The Rashba disagrees, but in Shulchan Aruch we assume like the Rambam. So now, if we Paskin in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to give your child an Isser D'Araisa, or an Isser D'Rabbanan, so how far would we take this halacha in Shulchan Aruch? Oh, so milchus and fleishiks, we're getting to that in a minute. But first, there's a fascinating minchas chinuch. Minchas chinuch, which we don't have enough time to read now, but you can read it on your own in Shin Yud Gimel. Minchas chinuch writes, well, we just learned the halach in Shin Mem Gimel in Arachayim, that a person is not allowed to feed his child a davar ha'asr mid'araisa or a davar ha'asr mid'rabbanan like the Rambam. Well, let me give you a classical example, says the minchas chinuch. Comes to Yom Kippur. Am I allowed to feed my children food on Yom Kippur? Says the Menchas Chinuch, absolutely not. Child has to go ahead and scream his head off till he's absolute choloshi emo sakana. And then his mother can give him a bottle on Yom Kippur. Read it on your own. Says the Menchas Chinuch. Pella. Says the Menchas Chinuch, if you have children, younger than Chinuch, they don't know anything. Says the Menchas Chinuch, you have to let them starve on Yom Kippur until they're screaming so much that it's mamash and matzav pikuach nefashas, then you'll go ahead and give them a bottle.
They don't have the iser of eating.
Oh, so if they go ahead and eat on their own, that's their thing.
They don't have an iser of eating. They don't have the feel of not eating on Yom Kippur.
So he says that there's a general iser that we've just learned about that I'm not allowed to give my katan something that's usser. Right?
That's not
Yom Kippur.
You're not giving something that's usser.
So you're saying it's an iser's man. So it's an iser's man. So this is the Menchas Chinuch's whopper of a Chiddush, which obviously we don't pass in like La Halacha Bichlal. And interestingly enough, this was already suggested way before the Menchas Chinuch. This is already in the Sefer HaYashar Le Rabbeinu Tam, none other than Rabbeinu Tam. So we are told in the Sefer HaYashar that Rabbi Moshe Mifantaisa, who was one of the Rishonim from France, sent the Shaila to Rabbeinu Tam, asking him, well, maybe we should say, the same way I'm not allowed to feed my child Nevelis HaTrefa, the same way I'm not allowed to feed him all Dvar Mahasurim, so too I'm not allowed to feed him on Yom Kippur. Rabbeinu Tam said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Why? First answer Rabbeinu Tam gives is, like you said, over here, this is not Nevelis HaTrefas. This is an Isser of Yom Kippur. This is an Isser's Man. So you can't say that what I'm giving the child is a Dabar HaAsser. It happens to be that the day doesn't allow him to eat. So that's the answer number one that Rabbeinu Tam gives. And answer number two, which is very important with regard to other cases, is, like you're saying, the Gemara says in Yuma Ayin Ches that when it comes to Hayne Revise, we're Meko. What does that mean? So the Gemara tells us, if the natural way of a child to live is by doing X, Y, and Z, so you can't take that away from him. The Chacham never made that Isser on him. The Torah never placed it on him. So even though we have an Isser to give children Dvar Masurim, we have an Isser to take him to McDonald's, but that's not his normal way of living. His normal way of living is to eat kosher in their house. So therefore, we would not allow that in such a case. But over here, the normal way to live is to eat breakfast, lunch, and supper. So the Gemara says, Beferish in Yuma Ayin Chesam and Bey, is that wherever it's Hayne Revise, wherever it's the natural development of a child to do this Davar HaAsir, every day he eats breakfast, lunch, and supper. And today, also he's going to eat breakfast, lunch, and supper. I eat Yom Kippur. It doesn't matter. That's the natural way of a child to live his life. And therefore, since it's the natural way of a child to live his life, the Torah never put that Isser on the child. Yeah?
But then closing the window, he's used to closing the light for himself when he goes to sleep. Same difference.
So you're saying the child can go ahead on his own and turn the lights off. Problem is over there, we might have a separate Isser of Atu Ben Chabitecha. Shabbos might be in a different category than other things, which is a question.
How about
no, that's what we spoke about before. There's a special pasuk by Shabbos that says, L'sasakom alacha Atu Ben Chabitecha. So Shabbos might be in a different category, but Stamazoi, the Gemara says before, that anything that's natural for the child to need in his life, that is considered Hayne Revise, and we would assume that is permissible in such a case. Yeah? So we're getting to a different shaila by chametz. One second, let's get to this in a minute. Yeah. Anything that applies by Shabbos should apply on Yom Kippur. So you're saying the same way we might have an Isser by Shabbos, and maybe it should be Asur on Yom Kippur. Whatever the Gemara says over here, maybe, I don't know. The Gemara says over here clearly that Hayne Revise. What? Yeah. I'm not quite sure. So the Chumash Hadeshan takes us a step further, and he writes as follows. He says, we generally know that we're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So am I allowed to feed my ketanim matzah on Erev Pesach? Or am I allowed to have the ketanim eat before Kiddush and Shul? Right? So am I allowed to have my ketanim come home? Shabbos morning, is he allowed to eat breakfast without making Kiddush? Should I go be makpid and my kids make Kiddush at 10 o'clock in the morning when they're eating breakfast on Shabbos? So the Chumash Hadeshan... What? Oh, right, so says the Chumash Hadeshan, no, because it's normal for the kid to eat breakfast in the morning, it's normal for the kid to eat matzahs whenever he wants. So we say over there is no reason for us to asur the child from eating before he makes Kiddush, there's no reason to asur the child from going ahead and eating the matzah on Erev Pesach. The Chumash Hadeshan really says that there's no Isser involved here. It's just a mitzvah. The child is not being Mekayim the mitzvah of making Kiddush. No. So that's not a problem. That's not feeding him an Isser. It's just not being Mekayim the mitzvah. So my father said along those lines as well, if you have a little kitty spoon in the house, right? No one's going to eat with those little baby spoons. You have a little metal spoon that the kid eats, whatever you call it, baby food from. Gerbers, right? You have those little baby spoons. So my father thought those don't need tefillas kelim. You wouldn't have to tevel them. Why not? Because like the Chumash Hadeshan says, it's just a mitzvah. So you have no... Obviously, if the kid's a gil chinuch, so then the mitzvah of chinuch kicks in. But over here, we're talking about a child who's younger than chinuch. Generally, in the Ramah, we're machmir, that a child younger than chinuch, we try not to give him isurim. But over here, I'm not giving him an isur. I'm just not being mekayim a mitzvah. So Chumash Hadeshan already tells us by kiddush and by other things that one does not have to worry about such a case.
Do you have to tevel baby glass bottle, baby bottle?
Yeah, anachinami. You don't have to. First of all, it's plastic, but if they would be glass, so anachinami, that would be okay. If you if you... If we take this one step further, Rabbi Avadia Yosef writes in a very beautiful tshuva in the Yechavidas, what's the halacha of kitnius on Pesach? Kitnius is generally a chumrah mitam minig. It's only a minig. Not so clear where it started. Right? The Chacham Tzvi already... Chacham Tzvi and Rabbi Yaakov Emden, who is the son of the Chacham Tzvi, says his father couldn't understand it. He wanted to be mevatel the minig. Where did it come from? It's baloney. It doesn't make any sense. Not so clear where the whole minig started, but we're machmer, Ashkenazi machmer, Sfaradim Mekel. So would an Ashkenazi be allowed to feed his child kitnius on Pesach? Provided that you have different kelim, obviously, because we're machmer and kitnius even on the kelim. But am I allowed to give my child kitnius on Pesach? So Rabbi Avadia Yosef argues, absolutely, because dabar that's only us and mitam minig, we don't take this so far to say that even a dabar that's only us and mitam minig, I'm not allowed to give my child. That's too far. So my father thought that he had a very good argument. The Stechemet already quotes this as well. That a davar that's only us and mitam minig, one does not have to worry about his child. He's allowed to feed that to his child as well, which would make a more far-reaching nafkamina, meaning most people don't want kidneys in the house on Pesach. There's nothing to discuss. But there would be a very important nafkamina, like you were saying before. What about the 6 hours? We know the Gemara in Chulin Daf Kofei talks about waiting after you eat a meal. So the Ramah Paskins, halacha lamaisa, you really make her adin only have to wait 1 hour after you eat fleishiks. 1 hour after you eat fleishiks, the Ramah says you're allowed to eat milk. In Holland, they wait an hour. Right. However, the Ramah then quotes, Kvar Nagu, we have the minig to wait 6 hours. Okay? We have a minig to wait 6 hours. So this is only a minig ba'alma. So do I have to have my young children wait 6 hours before they have a cup of milk? So take, for example, my son eats chicken for dinner, and now before he goes to sleep, he wants a cup of milk. You're going to say, oh, hey, it's Basar B'chalav. We wait 6 hours.
A bottle.
What am I machuyev to make him wait an hour to wait 6 hours? So no. So Rabbi Avadia Yosef says, obviously, since this is only a minig, one doesn't have to make his child wait 6 hours. But that first hour, what's the halacha?
The chicken is rabbanon.
Chicken's rabbanon, but still, we're machmir. So what's the halacha then? So my father assumed in such a case that if the child is, his natural way is, he eats dinner, and then before he goes to sleep, he has a cup of milk. So that's back to the Gemara in Yuma, that Haina Ravisei. This is the normal, natural way of a child to live. This is the normal thing he does every night. He has a bottle before he goes to sleep. And even in the middle of the first hour, which the Ramah says is Me'ikar Adin, said that my father assumed that that would be permissible because this is Haina Ravisei. That is the normal way of a child to live. This is the normal way of a child to act. And that would be okay. I see where...
Could be.
So you have to look in Siman Pei Tes and Yeridei and figure out all these different permutations. But one last issue before we close is about, what about in the 9 days? What about, all of our children go to camps and we know they always make siyumim in the camps. So why are they so makbid on the siyum? Means that we're careful that the children shouldn't have meat in the 9 days, right? They shouldn't have fleishiks. So what's this about? So, off the bat, if the child is less than chinuch, there's nothing to talk about, because this is just a minig. By minhagim, we're not machmer. So if the child is 2 years old, so a parent is obviously allowed to give him schnitzel and chicken in the 9 days. Okay. Now, once he's over chinuch, so what's the halacha then? So generally, we're machmer. So why are we machmer? So you're going to say, mitam chinuch, you should be mechanechim. Oh, shalom lahagum. So we have a general din of chinuch. So you want the child to be mechunuch, that this is the way we do it in the 9 days. Problem is, in Shulchan Aruch we assume, ein chinuch la'avelus. If, let's say, for example, Rachman al-Litzlan, you have a young child whose parent dies. So is the child mechuyev to sit shiva? Is the child mechuyev to not to shave his, not to get a haircut, not
but
to shave? Oh, 1 second. So the kasha, let's just build up the kasha, then we'll say your teretz, that generally we assume ein chinuch la'avelus. The only time we're mechanech a katan and mitzvahs is because when he gets older, we hope that he's going to be mekayim. But over here, we hope when he gets older, he's not going to have to do avelus. Shouldn't happen again. So why over here do we assume that a katan shegila chinuch has to be careful not to eat meat during the 9 days? Says the Magen Avraham that no, by avelus the yachid is one thing. Over here, it's avelus of Gans Klal Yisrael. So over here, once he's shegila chinuch, he has to be careful not to eat meat in the 9 days. So my father had a problem with this, as he said many times in the past. How can you say the reason we don't eat meat in the 9 days is because of avelus? Someone who's in the middle of shiva is allowed to eat meat and drink wine. So what? How can we say that the rationale for not eating meat in the 9 days is because of avelus? It's nothing to do with avelus. A person who's sitting shiva
He's supposed to drink wine. He's allowed to eat meat.
Except aninus.
Except aninus. So this is not aninus. In the 9 days, it's not aninus. So what's going on here? So my father suggested a different idea, that what we're abstaining from meat in the 9 days, why we're not drinking wine, is not zechel avelus. It's different. The Gemara says in Baba Basra Dap Samach, anyone who wants to leave can leave. We'll be done in 3 minutes. The Gemara says in Baba Basra Dap Samach that right after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, everyone thought it wasn't Derech Eretz that they should drink wine and eat meat. Why? Because we used to pour wine, nisachayayin, on the Mizbeach. And we used to be makrav karbanos. So that was like, so to speak, that was a matir for us to also eat meat and drink wine. But now that there's no Mizbeach, so is it right that we're not going to eat meat and that we're going to eat meat and the Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to have any? So it says that they decided no more meat, no more wine, because there's no Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, so then we should say you're not allowed to drink water, because there's Nisach HaMayim on Sukkos. And maybe we should say you're not allowed to eat any fruits because there's Bikurim. And maybe you're not allowed, so now I can't have anything. So I'm gonna die. So the Gemara says, Elamai, so since it's a gzera she'ein hatzibur yecholam lamud ba, Klal Yisrael can't live by such a gzera, so they're mevatel gzera. We're not going to make a zechel hamikdash. However, in the 9 days, that's manageable.
It's only 9 days.
So I can manage 9 days without meat and wine.
So
I can manage. So since that is a gzera she'atzibur yecholam lamud ba, so we revert back to the original halacha, which was that we should make a zechel hamikdash. It's not for avelus. We know that an avel is allowed to eat meat and drink wine during the 9 days, during Shiva. So you have to explain over here that the reason why during the 9 days we don't eat meat and drink wine is only because of a zecher the mikdash. It's not zecher la avelus. And therefore, when it comes to ketanim, it does make sense that once they're higil l'chinuch, we should be careful that in the 9 days as well, they should not eat meat and drink wine. It's nothing to do with avelus. If it was having to do with avelus, we would say, ein chinuch la avelus.
So why is it not good to do music?
Music. Music is a Gemara in Gittin in the first parak that really we're not supposed to ever have music after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Right. It's a question.
So that's also not because that's not available. Then.
Right. You have to work on the details.
What's the heter of making a siyum? Why is that okay?
Sudas mitzvah is mutter.
What about zechel
mikdash? Sudas mitzvah overrides.
You're creating it yourself.
Oh, so that's the whole question. Are you allowed to create the chiyuv? Right. So that's another discussion.
Restaurants do that.
Yeah, so it's very questionable in a restaurant to do that. Okay, so just, if you want to turn over, what? What?
During the siyum, if it came out of the 9 days from finishing the sefer, he didn't let us have meat, just chicken.
Really? Okay. Very Pelkowitz. Okay. Okay, so here's just a great part on the Parsha, if anyone has another 2 minutes. So it says over here, we'll say it outside. The story goes that the Panovich Rav once came to England, and he was collecting money for Panovich. Okay, that's what he did for a living. So he gets to England, and the people in England tell him, we don't need to hear about how many Avreichim you have in the Kollel and how many guys you have in the Yeshiva. We're going to give you money anyway. We don't need the details. Give us the Dvar Torah. He says, okay, so it's Parsha Shmos, so he gets up there and he says, what does it say by Miriam? Teisatzav Meirachok. She's standing there after Moshe Rabbeinu is thrown into the river. L'deo Me'yasalo. So she's standing there to see what's going to happen. So Frek the Panovich Rav as follows. Who loves a child more? His siblings or his parents?
Parents.
His parents. So where Amar Men Yochevet? Why is Miriam going out to see what happens with Moshe Rabbeinu? What about Amar Men Yochevet? They love the child more than Miriam loves the child. So Elamai, you have to say, says the Panovich Rav, you have to say that Amar Men Yochevet knew b'nevuah that everything was going to be fine, that he would be saved. So therefore, they weren't nervous, but Miriam went out.
But, how do you say instead of this?
No, they knew b'nevuah everything was going to be fine. But the question was, why is Miriam concerned then? We know the Gemara tells us in Sota in the first parak, Miriam is the one who had the nevuah in the first place. Amar Men Yochevet didn't have the nevuah about Moshe Rabbeinu, it was Miriam. So why is she going out? So what's going on here? So said the Panovich Rav as follows. Miriam wasn't going out to see if Moshe Rabbeinu would survive or not, if the miracle would happen or not. Miriam is going out to see how is the Ribbono Shel Olam going to carry out this miracle. I want to experience it. I want to watch the whole story unfold. So that's why Miriam goes out not to see whether or not her brother is going to survive. Rather, it was to see how he's going to survive. How is the Ribbono Shel Olam going to pull this off? So he said that he said this over to the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim brought a raya, because it says, by the Mekosha Sha'etzim, after he's Mechal Shabbos, so the Pesukim say they put him in jail, by Yitnu Osaba Mishmar, Ladas Maye Asalo. The same exact Lashon as we have over here, Ladea Maye Asalo. And Rashi quotes over there by the Mekosha Sha'etzim, they knew he was going to be Chayav Misa for being Mechal Shabbos, just they weren't sure which Misa. So that's why they threw him in jail until Ladas Maye Asalo, till the Ribbono Shel Olam Paskin, which Misa to kill him. So the Chafetz Chaim said the same thing over here. Miriam knew there was going to be a miracle. She just wanted to know which miracle was going to happen. How would it play out? So that's why she was standing there. So the Panav Yisrael just ended off by this parlor meeting. He said, I know the Ribbono Shel Olam wants the Panav Yeshiva to survive. I have no suffix that Panav is going to make enough money, that they're going to raise enough money. It's going to stay open. Miracle is going to happen. I just came to England to see how it's going to happen. Who's going to step up? Let's see who's going to make the miracle happen. You can use that by your dinner. Anyway, that was the story from the Panav Yisrael.